Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 331, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. My soul for thy salvation faints, but still I hope in thee. I long to see thy promised help, when thou shalt comfort me. And what follows? 331, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 1, the verses 35 through 51. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 1, beginning with verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought into Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, and whom is no guile. And Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We still announce to the congregation that in this past week, when the mission board has met, that Arian Adams was accepted as a church worker, the Lord willing, in the future to be sent to Bolivia. He is married to Miranda Nivandrista and of two children. That in this morning hour, Mrs. Byers was admitted to the hospital and is scheduled for gallbladder surgery. And in this afternoon, Mrs. DePater was admitted to the hospital. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, that it might not be evil in thy most holy sight, when we as poor sinners, as a congregation of sinners, attempt with our unclean lips to draw nigh unto thee, to ask of thee an indispensable and yet an undeserved and a blessing that is forfeited through our sins. But, Lord, may it please thee to dwell richly amongst us and our children in this evening hour, work lovingly and irresistibly with thy Holy Spirit. And may it please thee to bless the means of grace. Then our manifold needs, they are still the same, and they have only increased, the temporal needs, but above all the spiritual needs. Because for each and every one of us, a part of another Sabbath day has quickly run its course, and we have come closer to that final meeting with thee. And, Lord, then thou knowest that if thou leavest us in our fallen condition, in our lost condition, then we are lost forever and ever. And thou wast also said in thy word that thou wast looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that sought the Lord. And then thou wast said that there were none. They are all gone astray, and there is none that understand. But now that eternal wonder, that thou wast chosen a people for thyself, and thou wert gathering that people here in the time, by word and by spirit. Lord, then we humbly beg of thee, may it please thee to do it in this very evening hour, that a sinner, may we be given to ask for many and all, Lord. We all need the same thing. We all have a never-dying soul, and except we are born again, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, may it please thee that sons and daughters, that they may be born in Zion. But wilt thou also remember thy children? Then in this evening we have such precious things. Oh, it is true, thy whole word is so precious. The psalmist has declared that thy testimonies are pure, that they are as pure gold. But then in this evening hour, we hope to hear of a mediator that each and every one needs to stand between a just God and between a lost sinner, Lord. May it be for instruction, for edification, for comfort, and for correction. And may it please thee to bless the manifold means of grace. Wilt thou remember and help the consistory with their manifold labors, who is sufficient unto those things. Bless thy word, the means of grace. In the midst of the family circles wilt thou help. And remember fathers and mothers in that respect. And who is sufficient unto these things. And to that end may many prayers be sent up. Bless the manifold labors in the Christian school. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies from day to day. Wilt thou remember all those that labor therein and labor therewith. And if it is well, that should be us all. That our Christian school may be carried upon the wings of prayer, when thy word may daily be opened, and make it a blessing for young and old. We commend unto thee thy church, over the length and the breadth of the earth. The established churches remember our theological school, the instructors and the students. Above all, may they be taught by thy Spirit. Remember mission work, remember our mission field. And then we commend unto thee a young father who has been accepted, when thou granteth it in the future to be sent to our mission field as a church worker. Ah, Lord, wilt thou remember him with his wife and little children? Wilt thou grant tokens of thy divine favor? Wilt thou be their helper ever near? May it be for the coming of thy kingdom. We commend unto thee the persecuted church, the Jewish nation, all those that translate thy holy word into foreign languages, Lord. Wilt thou remember our country, that sinks away under the hardening of the heart, where we have become as a Sodom and Gomorrah. Then when thou granteth it, then in the near future election shall be held, and may it please thee to grant a prayer for the same, and that thou may yet provide in thy mercy leaders that have learned to bow their knees, and that may open thy word, that thy judgments may yet be restrained. Wilt thou remember the manifold needs in the midst of the congregation? May it please thee to provide for the daily bread in the midst of the family circles, in the midst of all the trials and afflictions. Also, where in the past week there was the death of livestock, Lord, wilt thou uphold and wilt thou spare from rebellion, and that also these callings may be used for the coming of thy kingdom. Ah, wilt thou grant more that dependent life, and needing thee for everything, and that we may be given to see thy hand many a times, under special circumstances, in special ways. We commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted, those that have returned from the hospital. Wilt thou remember them further? Wilt thou remember the parents with their little infant child still in the hospital, ah, Lord? Wilt thou continue to undergird and strengthen? And wilt thou remember those that have been taken to the hospital in this very day? A widow so unexpectedly, ah, Lord, wilt thou be near and dear unto her? Also, when she is called to undergo surgery, may the means be blessed. We commend her unto thee for body and soul. And another old mother that has returned to her place of residence a short time ago had to be admitted in this afternoon. Then by renewal we commend her unto thee, together with her husband for body and for soul. Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care? We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, those that have brought children to the cemetery, and other dear ones. Wilt thou undergird with thy everlasting arms? Remember all our elderly ones, the ones in places of care, those in their home, those that may still come up to thy house. The infirmities are increasing. Above all, Lord, may it please thee by thy free and sovereign grace to grant that one thing needful. Remember all the sick relatives. Remember the crosses, the burdens. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and daughters. Lord, we remember the member under censure. Ah, may it please thee that there may be a bowing of the knees, and that humility, and that repentance. Then we also remember different ones that hope to commemorate a special milestone in their life in this week, where they may raise an Ebenezer. Wilt thou grant a place at thy footstool? Remember for body and for soul. Wilt thou remember the young couple who were united in holy matrimony in this past week? It is the first Lord's Day together as husband and wife. May it please thee to bless thy word. Remember an old father that may commemorate in this day that thou was added an other year unto his years. It is written 80 years, and if by reason of strength 80 years, and then the utmost is labor and sorrow. Lord, thou knowest also his infirmity. Wilt thou remember him together with his wife? And then by renewal we commend unto thee that little daughter that may also commemorate her birthday in this day. Lord, thou knowest her difficulties, and may it please thee to be mindful of her. Lord, we now humbly ask thee in this evening hour that thou may grant thy Holy Spirit in speaking and in listening. Wilt thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance? Wilt thou bind the devil fast? Wilt thou remember all that we forget, Lord, forget it not. And then with all our needs, with all our blessings, grant a thankful heart for the many good things which thou granteth unto us. And then we may also humbly ask thee, Lord, that it may please thee to grant further opportunity, that the farmers may harvest their crop, what thou was given to grow. And then with all our needs, then we must confess that we have nothing to plead upon, Lord. We have many sins to confess. We have to acknowledge that we are so ungrateful creatures, that we take so much for granted. Thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee, but may we be given to plead upon thy great mercy. Thou wast said unto the children of Israel, I do it not for your sake, but I do it for my great name's sake, and that thou wilt be inquired of the children of Israel to do it for them. Lord, do it then in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 198, the first four stanzas. O God, be thy anointed Son, with truth and righteousness endowed, thy justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud, and what follows. Psalter 198, the first four stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. And then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 6, the question and answers 16 through 19. Question 16, why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Answer, because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin, and one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Question 17, why must he in one person be also very God? Answer, that he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us a righteousness and life. Question 18, who then is that mediator who is in one person both very God and a real righteous man? Answer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Question 19, whence knowest thou this? Answer, from the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly, has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. A Lord's Day number 6 speaks of the precious, a God-given mediator. With four thoughts in the first place, the mediator's task. In the second place, the mediator's qualifications. In the third place, the mediator's name. And in the fourth place, the mediator's testimony. The precious God-given mediator, the mediator's task, the mediator's qualifications, the mediator's name, and in the fourth place, the mediator's testimony. Beloved congregation, then we have heard in Lord's Day number 4 of a sinner that was given to bow under the justice of God, given to agree with the Lord. And then there was asked whether there was a way to escape that punishment and to be received into favor. And then we have heard it from the instructor, God will have us justice satisfied. And therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves and by another. And then we have heard it, that it is forever and forever impossible for a poor sinner to make that satisfaction. Are there souls in my midst that are busy with these matters, with a true and a deep impression of their sins, that must experience that breach, and that have tried to do everything to be restored into that favor, maybe in the beginning. You had hope and expectation to go from strength to strength, but then to be given to experience a sinner still. And not only my actual sins, but also my original sins. And then in Lord's Day number 5, in that last question and answer, then a door of hope has went open in the valley of Achor, where there was spoken of a mediator. Thus, to make it simple for our boys and girls, then when your father and mother ask you after church what the sermon was about, and I hope, boys and girls, that your parents do that, then you can tell them, in Lord's Day number 5, then there was spoken of the dawning of a day. The sun was not above, but then after a long dark night, then you could see it in the east, that the day is coming that gives hope and expectation of the day. That is what Lord's Day number 5 speaks of. But now our Lord's Day in this evening hour, that speaks of the sun coming above the horizon in all its glory and its all its beauty. Then I read in the prophet of old in Malachi 4 verse 2, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing of his wings. And that is what Lord's Day 4, number 6 speaks about. Then that mediator is revealed from behind the justice of God, because the true church shall learn from what a need and from what a death they are delivered from. And then Lord's Day number 6 is the continuance of Lord's Day number 5. It refers to question 15. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Then we must first speak of what a mediator is. That is a big word, boys and girls. Do you know what a mediator is? Because if you do not understand what a mediator is, then it makes it very difficult for you to understand Lord's Day number 6, even with your mind. Then we shall give a simple example. Let's say if it is that there are a brother and sister, two brothers, two sisters, and I hope, children, that you do not fight with one another. But sometime it happens that children have little quarrels, and then mother or father must come, and then he asks you what has taken place, and then he brings you together so you may play nice again. And if there were not only quarrels among children, how different this world would be. But alas, what a troubles, what a separations there can be also among the older ones. And the mediator is one. The first part of that word explains it, media, something in between. Then a mediator is one that brings those two parties that are at variance, that he may bring them together. Then concerning a mediator, then Reverend Hellenbrook, he asked in his question book whether the Lord Jesus Christ is only a mediator of intercession or also of reconciliation. And then there is a great difference between the two. A mediator of intercession, then he may stand between those two parties. He may plead, and he may tell them that he must come together. But let's say, to make it simple for our children, if the one has not now stolen $1,000 from the other, and that mediator would say, and that they must get along with each other, that they may not quarrel, they may not fight, and then we can understand that that man who lost his $1,000, that he would say, but then I first need my $1,000 back. And now if that mediator was a very poor man and had not a penny to his name, then we would say it would be impossible or very difficult to bring those two parties together. But now if there would be a rich man and it would be accepted by both parties and that $1,000 would be restored, then we would say there would be a possibility that those two parties would come together. And now Reverend Hellenbrook, then he asked in his question book whether the Lord Jesus Christ is now only a mediator of intercession, that he pleads with his Father, that a fallen sinner, a son and daughter of Adam, may be restored into that blessed communion of the Lord. But now the Father in his justice requires that every penny must be paid. We have heard it in the former Lord's day that the Lord is so holy, and out of his holiness flows his justice and righteousness, that he must punish each sin with temporal and eternal punishments. And therefore the wonder of this Lord's day, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is not only a mediator of intercession that he pleads, but that he is also a mediator of reconciliation. And to that end, he has come upon this earth. He has paid the price. Oh, in this morning we have heard of that black bride, but she was given to declare but comely. And that mystery is now declared in the beginning already. It shall be further declared in the further Lord's days, how it is possible that that black bride may become comely. Oh, that is because the Lamb of God, that he has become black, that he has taken the sins of his church upon him. And, O church of God, he has not only become black, but he has become red. And therefore the bride was given to testify in the Song of Solomon 5, verse 10, my beloved is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. But now for that mediator to be a mediator of reconciliation, then we find in this Lord's day what was needful that he was. Oh, it is so necessary and so profitable that the church of God, that they may be brought into those chambers, that they may be instructed concerning the mysteries of salvation. I read in Psalm 25, verse 14, that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Oh, concerning mediators, boys and girls, then we have many beautiful examples in the scriptures. Oh, think of Genesis 44, of a Judah, after that cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then those brothers, they were no longer true men, but they were uncovered what they have done with their brother Joseph. And then they have come before Joseph, and then Judah, oh, as a type of the greater Judah, Moses, in the blessing of the children of Israel, then he has declared in Deuteronomy 33, verse 7, and this is the blessing of Judah. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Oh, then a Judah has come forward. Then he has stood, as it were, between those guilty brothers and Joseph as the governor, the second in command of Egypt. And then he has fallen before Joseph. Then he was their spokesman. And then he has said, what shall we say? We have been found out. Of course, a Judah, when he was speaking, then we could speak of a mediator of intercession, but now a mediator of reconciliation. Then a Judah was willing to give himself that a Benjamin may go free. Then we have more examples in the scriptures. Think of Moses in Exodus 32. Think of Aaron. For that murmuring people of Israel, when the plague has broken out in the camp in number 16, then we read that Moses has commanded an Aaron as a beautiful type of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he has taken his censer in his hands, and then he has stood between the living and the dead. Thus, children, boys and girls, that I hope, when your father and mother ask you what a mediator is, that you can give a little explanation. And now in our second thought, then we are called upon to consider the mediator's qualifications, what that mediator needed, that he may stand between a holy God and between a lost and condemnable sinner. And that is now the wonder of salvation. And now there is asked concerning this mediator, why must he be very man? That is our first point, the first qualifications concerning our second point, and then the answer. Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sins. Thus, to that end, then an animal could not make that satisfaction. But then, children, maybe you say, but in the Old Testament, then the Lord has commanded the children of Israel to bring many sacrifices. Just think of that Passover lamb in Exodus 12. And the Lord has said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. But then we must understand that that animal could never make sacrifice for sin. But that sacrifice, that blood, only pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come in the fullness of time. And then also in the Old Testament, then the Holy Spirit granted his true people faith to believe in that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, that means an animal, an angel, because an angel's only a spirit. Thus then it was necessary that the mediator that would stand between God and man, that he had a body and a soul. Because we have sinned with body and soul, and the Lord is so just, that justice is so perfect, that he cannot punish sin and another. Then further, then it was necessary for that mediator, because the Lord has said to our covenant at Adam in Genesis 2 verse 17, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, spoken by a God that cannot lie. And now for that mediator to restore a sinner into that communion, then the truth of God demands that the sinner must die. And therefore it was necessary that the mediator, that he would be very man, that he wasn't able to suffer and to die. Further, it was necessary that the mediator would also perfectly keep the law, because upon obedience to the law, eternal life was promised. And to that end, the mediator needed to be very man. He had to assume our human nature that he may keep the law. In the next place, it was necessary that he was very man, because the Lord has promised in Genesis 3:15, that mediator would be the seed of the woman of Eve, and later through the royal family. Thus another reason why it was so necessary that he would be very man. And then let us add another point, all so a precious and comforting point for the true child of God. Then he was very man, that he may be that compassionate high priest. He was also a child, also a youth. He has bore the infirmities of the world, many a trials, many afflictions, persecutions. Do we not read that the apostle has written in Hebrews 4, the verses 15 and 16, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all things as we are, sin accepted. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. But now further, because in question 16, then there are 2 points in that question. Why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? I think maybe even our children can give an answer. Why do you think that the mediator, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, we hope to soon hear that name, why was it now necessary that he was perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, that he had no original sin, and that he had no actual sin? That is not so difficult. If the mediator would have had one sin on his account, then he would have to suffer and die for his own sins, and then it would be impossible that he could deliver his people. I think we could use a daily example. There is a man that has a great debt, let's say $10,000, and another man would like to help, but that he was also in debt, then it would be impossible for the man to help another. Oh, when we consider these points, then we speak of an able Savior, able to save to the uttermost, as I read in Hebrews 7, verse 25. Are there a few souls that are struggling with these matters, that maybe at times you think that I am such a great and such a black sinner, impossible to be saved? But then the apostle has said, able to save to the uttermost. But now we have a mediator, not only able, but also so willing. He has loved this church from that never begun eternity. He has loved them in the fullness of time, loved them in the moment of regeneration, and he loves them still, notwithstanding their blackness. But now further, in question 17, why must he in one person be also very God? And then we read that he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath. Thus then the mediator, if he would only be human, and the sins of his church were laid upon him, then such a human body could never bear, could never sustain that great wrath of God. And to that end, it was necessary that he would also be God, beautiful typified in the Old Testament when the tabernacle was built. Then there was a court around that tabernacle. And then there was a large gate. There was a curtain that you could go through. And then the first piece of furniture, that was the brazen altar of burnt offerings. And we read in the Bible specifically that that fire must always burn. Thus, when one would come into that court, the first thing that he would see would be that altar with that burning fire. And now that altar was made of shittim wood, but that altar was also covered with brass. And our boys and girls can even understand, if that altar was not covered with brass, then that fire would soon consume the whole altar. But now, because it was covered with brass, then that altar would stay standing, a beautiful type of the mediator that was to come. What a solemn thought, congregation, that no human nature can bear and sustain the wrath of a just and almighty God. Do you ever think of those things? What shall it be when we die, if we still have all our sins written on our account? And then we read in this Lord's Day, not able to bear the wrath of God, and yet, then you shall be required to all eternity. Do you see, congregation, the necessity that we have a mediator of intercession and a mediator of reconciliation? Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, we have to go lost. I even read in Revelation 6, verse 16, that we shall begin to pray to the mountains and to the hills, that they may cover us from the wrath of God. Then in eternity it shall be our desire that we may turn into nothingness, but it cannot be. Because I read in 1 Corinthians 15 that corruption shall put on incorruption and mortality put on immortality. Oh, may it please the Holy Spirit to use these Lord's days, that we may be given to need a mediator, that we may be joined to those sighers and criers, burdened with our sins, but the necessity that we come to this Lord's Day. Further, then we read that he might, by the power of his Godhead, because the mediator is divine, to that end in a very short time, then it was possible that he could merit salvation for his church. He must be divine, that he may rise again, and that he may conquer that triple-headed enemy, But then further, thus boys and girls, can you remember it? The mediator, he must be very man with a body and soul. He must be very righteous, not one sin. He must be very God. But then there is also ask, why must he in one person be also very God? Because there is one mediator, I read in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, one mediator between God and man, thus a mediator in this Lord's day, that is appointed, that is willing, a mediator that is related to both, a mediator that can communicate to both, a mediator that can reconcile two parties. Our third thought, the mediator's name, but let us first sing. Of Psalter 422, the stanzas 1 and 3. My mouth shall sing for thy tender mercies, Lord. To every age will I thy faithfulness record. I know how firm and sure thy wondrous grace is founded, and what follows. Psalter 422, the stanzas 1 and 3. the precious God-given mediator. The mediator's task, the mediator's qualifications, and now in the third place, the mediator's name. When we speak of the nature of the mediator, then we speak of what he is. But when we speak of his name, then we speak who he is. And then in this Lord's day may be declared what we have read together out of the Gospel of John chapter 1, where John the Baptist, as he was by the river Jordan, with two of his disciples, it was the third day, and where he was given to declare, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then John was given to write many years later that it was the 10th hour. And then they have followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has turned himself about, "Whom seek thee?" And they have said, "Where dwellest thou?" And they have dwelt with him. And then he was given to declare that he was the Lamb of God. Oh, it is true that those disciples still had to be led further. They still had to learn much, especially concerning the priestly office of Christ, how he was enabled to become the Lamb of God. They also had to learn much of what the instructors declared in this Lord's Day. But now we read in question 18, "Who then is that mediator who in one person is both very God and the real righteous man?" And then the answer, "Our Lord Jesus Christ." Then in that answer is declared what I find in the parable in Matthew 13, the verses 45 and 46, where there was a man that have found many of pearls. Oh, he has gathered many together, has given him much happiness. But then we read in that parable that he found a pearl of great price, and then he has sold all the rest that he might gain that pearl. Then I read of the woman with issue of blood in Mark 5, who had a terrible disease, went to many physicians, and she grew only worse, and her purse was empty. But then we read so simply, "And she heard of Jesus." Oh, as Simeon was given to hold the Christ child in his arms and given to speak great things, our Lord Jesus Christ. Three names mentioned of the mediator. There are about 200 names ascribed to the mediator in the scripture. And now concerning these three names, the name Jesus, that means Savior, and that is further explained in Lord's Day number 11. The name Christ, what does that name mean, young people? You have learned it in catechism. What does the name Christ mean? That means anointed. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit to that threefold office of prophet, a priest, and king. Thereof the instructors they speak in Lord's Day number 12. And then the third name, Lord, that is declared in Lord's Day number 13. Thus we shall leave the meanings of those names lie for now. But then the instructors, they have quoted from 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, "Who of God, thus a God-given mediator, is made unto us." Who is that us? That is the people of God, "is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And those are matters that the true church so sorely needs. Are there souls in my midst that are saying in this evening, those are no four matters that I so sorely need? In the first place, I need wisdom. We live in a day that there are people that they seem to know everything. They know it much better than God's people that have been on the way for many years. They are not so teachable. But when the Spirit now begins, and we may receive a place on the school of King Jesus, and then children, we begin in kindergarten, and that is a school that we never graduate, then we can have sat in church for many years, learned very diligent in catechism questions and answers, that we have a sound understanding of the truth of God's Word. But people, when the Lord now begins, then we do not know it. Oh, we do know some things because we receive a knowledge of who God is. And in the mirror of the law, we have heard it out of Lord's Day number 2, who we are. And then we experience that breach. And then we need to be instructed. Then we learn that we are so ignorant in heavenly ways. Or is there a few souls amongst us that have to say, that is me, Lord. I do not know how I can ever be converted. Oh, there was maybe a time that you hoped to go from strength to strength, and with all your reformation to appear before Zion, and now to be a sinner still. But now Christ, He has made unto His church wisdom. Thus that speaks of His prophetical office. And concerning that wisdom, that is not only in the beginning, but that is all their lifelong. Wisdom in the way of grace and in the way of providence. In the second place, He has made unto us righteousness. Because when the Lord works, then we learn that we are not in a right relationship with God. Then we learn that there is so much wrong, that we are not conformable to the will of God, and that we have no righteousness to appear before a holy and a just God. But now for the people of God, made unto them righteousness. When we think of Martin Luther, that was a man that was taught so clearly in the ways of the Lord. And he has read his Bible much. Hope you also do that and search it and pray over it. And then when he read of that righteousness of God in the Bible, then sometime he literally trembled. So fearful and so afraid. But then there came a day when he was reading in the Epistle to the Romans. And in chapter 1, verse 17, then the Lord has opened his eyes that there was a merited righteousness. That was the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is imputed to his people. Thus that righteousness that speaks of the priestly office of Christ. And now thirdly, holiness. That speaks more of sanctification, that we may become more conformable, as I read in Romans 8, verse 29, that the child of God becomes conformable to the image of God. Thus, when we think of those three points, wisdom, righteousness, and holiness, what does that remind us of congregation? Because we must think along. Those three words, What does that remind us of? Wisdom, I shall say holiness. Knowledge, that makes it easier. Knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, that concerns the image of God in which the Lord has created Adam and Eve, and which we have lost. And now we read in this answer, in this text, that the mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he has come to restore what we have lost in paradise. And then fourthly, then we read redemption. We need to be redeemed. We need to be delivered. And of course, we all like to be delivered from going to hell. But for the true child of God, then it goes not in the first place about hell and heaven, but it goes about the God in heaven. And then they need to be redeemed, need to be delivered from their guilt, from the punishment of sin, but also the dominion of sin, the power of sin, and the love to sin. And that is now the precious work of this mediator. O congregation, 'tis a name above all names. The apostle has declared in Acts 4, verse 12, that there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must and can be saved. Our last thought, the mediator's testimony. Whence knowest thou this? And then the instructor, sola scriptura, is a Latin word that means boys and girls, scripture alone. Our instructors, each time they point us to the Word of God, many texts included in each Lord's Day to prove to us what they say in their answers is based solely upon the Word of God. Thus whence knowest this? From the Holy Scriptures. What a precious gift that is, that the Lord has given to the children of men. Do we value it, congregation? Boys and girls, do you read it every night before you go to bed? It does not have to be such a long piece, but read a portion and ask the Lord to bless it. Because in the Bible there is written what we need, what we have lost in paradise, what we need. But that mediator is declared, and the Lord has promised to bless his word. And then the answer, we shall not multiply it out for the time's sake, which God himself first revealed in paradise. Genesis 3, verse 15, the mother promised, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And afterwards published by the patriarchs. When we think of the patriarchs, we usually think of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, although in the book of Acts in chapter 7, then we also read of the sons of Jacob, the 12 patriarchs, and then the prophets, and that includes the whole Old Testament, not only the minor and major prophets. Moses is also called the prophet, represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. We have spoken of the Passover. What a beautiful picture of that mediator, the necessity of blood. I read in Exodus 12, verse 13, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And then finally and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. Oh, the prophet has declared in Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. There we have the two natures of Christ, And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Counselor, one wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father. Congregation, let us now close with that question out of Matthew 12, verse 42. Where Christ has said, what think ye of Christ? What is your answer, congregation? What think ye of Christ, of this precious mediator that is able to save to the uttermost? Save the young, save the old. The most blackest, the most hardened sinner, the most self-righteous as a Saul or as wicked as Manasseh. What think ye of Christ? May we be spared from hardening our heart when we become bold in sin to mock with the most holy things. What an awful thing when our heart becomes harder and harder. I hope there may still be many that it's still a little tender, that you are troubled with those things. But congregation, a tender conscience cannot save us. Maybe some that had a time of deep convictions, you have cried unto the Lord, but let me ask you, what think ye of Christ today? Let us remember a knowledge of our misery and convictions in itself is not a mediator. And now in the true work of the Holy Spirit, then he uncovers deeper and deeper, are their souls, that have found many a goodly pearl. And how happy that people is, those daughters of Jerusalem, because they are drawn by love. But let me ask you, can those pearls, can they save you? Can they restore you in that blessed communion? May it be given. What we read in that parable which we have mentioned, declared in this Lord's Day, that you may be brought to an end of everything impossible from our side, but that it may please the Lord to reveal this precious mediator, people of God. How is it in our life? We have spoken in this morning of the experience of the bride. I am black, but comely, how necessary, how precious. He was willing to become black, take the sins of his church upon him, that his church may go free. The apostle has written to the Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may acknowledge thee for thy help in this day, and that thou hast granted opportunity that we could come up to thy house. And, Lord, then we humbly beg thee by renewal that thou may be the after preacher, that we may be given to meditate, that we may be given to speak, and that we may bring it all on our knees. Wilt thou remember everything that has been planned for this week? Wilt thou remember and help the consistory when they hope to meet in the day of tomorrow? And, Lord, then in the middle of this week, then we hope to come together within the walls of the sanctuary which the congregation has built for thy name and for thee to mightily work. May it please thee to grant a few words to speak and bless us with thy special presence and thy special favor. Ah, grant tokens of thy grace. And Lord, what greater token could thou give? And then on the first day in the new sanctuary, that it would be heard, that sons and daughters may be born in Zion. Well, to grant traveling mercies to all who come from afar. Well, to bless the labors of our hands. Well, to remember and help the mothers in the home with the children during the day and the night watches. Remember the fathers at work. By renewal we ask thee, may it please thee to grant opportunity that the crops may be harvested. Wilt thou remember the children, the teachers in school? Lord, wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? May it please thee to dismiss us in thy favor, bring us safely to our dwellings, and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, 158, the stanzas 4, 5, and 7. A glorious banner thou wast given to those who fear thy name, a banner to display abroad, and thus the truth proclaim. And what follows, 158, 4, 5, and 7. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.